Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Blythe.
I'm Barney.
And I'm Ben.
So I'm going to fill in some blanks. Cry No More, it appeared on SoundCloud. There were 100,000 listeners out of nowhere. Oh my gosh. London, electropop. There's a genre we'll get rid of soon.
We've been arguing about this.
Yeah. Oh, we're going to go to that. I dig into genre. I'm evil when it comes to genres. Let's see. Previous real jobs. We're going to get to that because that's especially in Blythe's case, there's going to be some fun there. This is like the warm-up breath mint for the interview before we get to the deep stuff. So what do you want to tell us, Blythe?
I want to tell you that once upon a time, I rode on a dumpster, I think they call it here, don't they? And then a car when I was dressed as a zombie and I drank about half a bottle of vodka. I'd just broken up with my boyfriend. And then I jumped on the top of a moving car and rode it down the road in Bristol during a festival for Halloween.
You know, that's so good. I don't think she's lying. That
you can see it. You can see pictures of that online. I don't remember it because I was...
Wow. I don't know what to do with that. That was so good. How are you going to top that?
I had a nightmare last night.
Well, there you go.
I woke up bolt upright at 2 o'clock in the morning, absolutely feeling like someone had just thumped me in the gut. And I realised at lunchtime today the nightmare was about getting home and my dog not recognising me.
I've got some family history that's quite interesting. I don't know if I've mentioned before, which is I come from a very musical family, and my granddad and his two brothers were violin players and cello players in the BBC orchestra, and they were thrown out for fighting of the BBC
really?
Orchestra in the late 50s, early 60s.
Did they have a duel with the bows?
I think they had one of the brothers, Pio, they were Maltese, was a bit of a gangster, and I think another violin player knocked him as he was playing, so he punched him in the face. and they were thrown out the BBC orchestra, so that was the end of their...
Can you imagine the Beeb having something that rat, the orchestra of all things, could you imagine? They wouldn't have that. This explains a lot about you. I know that you two gentlemen were in bands and projects before. But I also know, Blythe, that there's something here about a few other day jobs, including... Okay, this is the quote, but we have to fill this in. And I know you came through a girlfriend, but workshops in the mental health sector.
Yeah,
that's a great category there. And probably really good prep for what you're doing now.
Yeah, everyone's mental in the music industry.
Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's, well, I kind of believe that everyone is on a sliding scale of mental health, you know.
So what exactly, these jobs that you obviously were doing music while you did these jobs.
Yeah, I taught singing to groups of different people from different charities in London.
Wow. And what kind of music was that?
It would be...
Like, is it Downtown by Petula Clark?
No, I did I taught the kind of old folk from all over the world, really. Old, like, Bulgarian tunes and American tunes, anything that would be easy to be picked up by everyone, so that by the end of the session that everyone would be able to sing it. And
so this really was for mental health, so to speak, people who had issues.
Yeah, people who've got different kinds of mental health problems or learning disabilities.
Wow.
Who are generally wonderful people, but they just need a little bit.
You're in the big United States. Right? And it doesn't matter whether you play to us in the U.S., whether you had the greatest record in the world today, or you played Glastonbury or Leeds or you know, Tea on the Park. We don't care. We're just, we just care about the buzz and that you're from the U.K. and all of that. What have you learned about, you know, and we started on this, but making it in the U.S. and does it really matter this early on? And is there a big grand plan that you and your label have talked about? Or is it kind of like, no, you know what? You're here to get a taste of this. People get a taste of you, and then you'll make the full record, and then you'll come back.
Yeah, it's kind of vague, I think, at the moment. Maybe other people have a more concrete plan, but from us, it's more like, you know, you get an opportunity, like a small opportunity to come over, which we did this time, and play a great show like the Rough Trade CMJ show, and then... they tried to just put in as many shows around that. So I think, you know, there isn't like a grand plan at the moment.
Amazing. And you're happy with that, right?
Coming to America and playing in America has been on my bucket list. It's like, get a record deal, get on the radio, go around America, and then go around the world, and then conquer the world.
The conquer the world part. There I was one day and sitting at my desk, and I'm listening to music, and this email shows up, and someone says, this is on SoundCloud, you've got to listen to this. And literally, I listened to it on SoundCloud, had no way of contacting you at that point, pulled out one of these into my home studio, dubbed it off of SoundCloud, and it was on the radio being heard in all those places I told you. But I want to hear about Babs. How, when you're thinking about the music and when you were forming this band and when you were thinking, what's the sound going to be? Who came upon Babs and who came upon the idea of incorporating the mix of bells and synths and loops and all the fun stuff that actually does make up the non-genre, but what this band sounds like? How did that come to be?
Well, Ben actually came up with the bells for Crinamore first.
Yeah, I had a kind of soft instrument of gamelan bells, and I kind of fell in love with that little loop and then spent, I don't know, 5-6 days just with that loop.
So it's your fault that I'm in the shower going dung da dung da dung dung to my, and my daughter's like, Dad, what are you doing? That's not singing, Dad. Oh, it's bells. Good, yeah. Good, Dad. You just keep going. Take me to school.
When I play those bells tonight, I'm going to think of you in the shower.
Well, that was not. Oh, Lord, I was just.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, here we go. Thank you. It is hard to put a label or a genre on what you do. And you said you were talking about it today, so this is really timely, right? I'm old enough that I played EDM in clubs, but it wasn't EDM. This is that moment where you're getting really out there, and people are going to try to put you in some box that makes it really convenient for them. Oh, female vocalist. Well, okay. You know, Joy Formidable, she's a female vocalist. She's blonde, right? You know, we can go on and on and on. So tell me what, I just want to kind of get in on the conversation and tell me what you were talking about today in terms of that. Who wants to talk about that?
We kind of got to the fine edge of it in that we were disagreeing about it not being electropop, but being electronica pop, because electropop has got sort of, it's a loaded term.
Right.
Whereas electronica pop is like electronica, but formed into a more concise, clear song format. Hmm. Right. So I think we're sort of happy with electronica pop. I don't want to speak for all three of us.
Sounds fine to me.
Yeah, I think.
but happy with it in terms of when people like me point a microphone at you and say, "What are you?"
I think because it's just a very hard question to answer, because I think I definitely use pop to describe us, because I think our songs are quite succinct, and I think we really work on our choruses, so that's a definite pop element. There's definite electronica in there, like we're hugely influenced by a lot of act, and we love synths and producing like that. But then it's hard to then get in all the acoustic elements as well into that description, because I think it wouldn't be Vaults if there weren't pianos and bells and strings and stuff. But then it's sort of hard, because how do you describe artists like Bjork? And I think it's things like Massive Attack kind of fall into the trip-hop thing, but I really don't feel like we're doing trip-hop in any way.
Republic Records. Let's go back to making a living. It's kind of a good label to be on, because you got that big power of Universal Music Group. But they are independent, even though they have some really powerful artists, right? So was there a manager involved? Take me back just a little bit to before today, and somewhere between SoundCloud and Cry No More and this. That's pretty, a couple of years, that's pretty cool, right?
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. We got flown out here, I think it was about 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We got flown out here at Christmas, and we met lots of different labels and lots of different agents, and did lots of interviews with lots of different people, and really we went with our gut, and we didn't have much encouragement one way or another, apart from some of the sort of basic info about the different people from the management company. And Republic, they just came off better in the interview. I think we've always made those decisions based on how we feel that the the company are working with each other and how we feel they would work with us.
They bought us sushi for lunch as well. Really good sushi.
Well, where'd they buy you? Where? Let's get to the important stuff, because I'm down there all the time. Where'd they buy your sushi?
I don't think I can remember.
Remember there was a lot of it.
There was a lot of sushi.
I struggled to walk out of the meeting.
Yeah. There was a lot of it. And I felt like I suddenly found myself eating really loudly, you know, when you get that thing where you're like, we were really hungry, so we were definitely eating it and trying to have the interview at the same time.
Dear record labels, want to sign a good band? One word, sushi. So, the EP is technically a trilogy. The record, you really haven't gotten anywhere near finishing. When I last heard it was 9 tracks, is it more than 9 tracks now?
We've almost finished it. I think we're just finishing the final track. I won't never say never, but I think that's the last track.
Yeah, I think so.
And then you had to do like another version with a couple of extras, so we're trying to work out what they'd be. But yeah, we're really close. But yeah, we're really close now.
On the remix tip, you've had my friend Villagers do stuff. He's great. He's fantastic. But you've also kind of taken it over yourselves to a certain extent. So that's a whole another facet of being a band these days, right? Is you show up and you DJ, you do remixes. But I know that I cannot get one Caribou song out of my head. What one do you think?
Can't do that.
That's right. That's my other, and sorry, but you're not alone here. That's my other shower song, right? It's just, I could listen to that for the rest of my life on loop, and I would never get bored. But what's fascinating about that is it's the most sparse song you've ever heard. Mm-hmm. So you are not a sparse band. You are a full throttle at the meter. You know, there's lots of sounds there. So when you get to remixes and when you get to remixing other people's stuff, have you kind of talked about what you're going to represent there? Because remixes tend to all these days take off the highs and they go boom, right? But I get the feeling you're going to bring some different things to this.
We've done some. We did a remix of Ellie Goulding, which was which is really funny because it had quite a mixed reception. Loads of people that like electronica really like it. People that just like Ellie Goulding don't like it so much.
Right, because you made it your own. Oh my gosh!
Yeah, pitched down her
How
vocal.
How dare you?
If you ever want to laugh and you're bored, look on the comment section of the remix.
That
she
really liked it.
Yeah, she really liked it. She's really cool, isn't she? She's got a good taste in music.
Even on your stuff, you're going to be. I would imagine, being who you are, you're going to be mighty picky about who, like, if the label comes and says, well, you know, we want blah, blah, blah to do it, you're going to kind of police it a little bit, right?
Yeah, I think you have to have some kind of, gate. Because you can't do a good job on something you really don't like.
Okay, before we get to the last thing, I want you to ask each other a question. Anything, you get the microphone, you get to ask him, he gets to ask you, and vice versa. Anything you've always wanted to ask each other, you get to take it over.
What a brilliant idea. So I get to do this?
You get to do this. Ask them something you've wanted to ask them, and then they get to ask you back.
Okay.
Anything. I know, evil, right? Dangerous of me
really
to do
evil.
This.
So, but I only get to ask one person.
Well, you've got the microphone for the next couple of minutes before we do the last thing. So, you just go.
Okay, Ben. When did you lose your virginity?
Blimey.
Has she ever asked you this before?
This is authentic.
Just so the world can hear this.
This is authentic. I've never asked this question before.
Oh my God.
Yeah. No, I was legal age. I was 16.
Ah,
yeah.
Amazing. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done. I like her.
When did you lose your virginity?
Good job, Ben.
Is that your question?
Good job, Ben.
I was 17.
Okay, so I'm going to ask Ben and Blythe both a question.
Yeah.
he's like completely.
No, because this is like a genuine worry. Like tomorrow we've got to leave at 3 a.m. and we're going to get back at 6 a.m. on Monday. So tomorrow is a 27-hour day. How are we going to not fall out?
how are we going to not fall out?
Through being tired.
You're not going to be grumpy,
okay,
like you usually are when you're tired.
And
we'll probably sit on different sides of the plane.
Far away from each other. We're going to sit as far as it is possible.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich, and what it is two of your songs on the outside, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.